Ersatz Radio. Papa Bigs. Hello and welcome to another edition of the Papa Bigs Show. I am the Papa Bigs and this is the Papa Bigs Show. What you're listening to right here on ssradio.co.uk. So come along and join us for another fun-packed edition.
I've begun. I'm the co-host of Very First Son. I'm Summer's son's son and I live in the sun. Spitting hot fire like from out of a gun. You better run to your radio and turn it on. We're the Papa Bigs crew, we do radio for fun. My rapping skills are poor, but I picked a good drum. Are you stunned? The number of dams we give it equal to none. The introduction's done. Because my name is Sun One.
Hello. Hello, it's me.
You alright, Sun One?
I'm swell.
You're swell? What, you've been at the gym?
No.
No.
That's swole.
No, oh, right, okay.
Yeah, there's a difference, come on.
Is there?
Yeah,
okay.
I'm swell because of the sweltering heat we've been having. It's been a scorcher.
Unlike British weather. Mm. Yeah, you even got a tan.
I have.
You have, which is incredible because you've got your mother's asbestos skin.
Yeah.
It just bounces off or burns.
Because I've been outside.
Yeah.
I'm only ever outside when it's warm.
Yeah, okay. But what have we got coming up on today's show then? So people can listen to it sat there in their gardens. What could they listen to?
They could listen to us talk about what we've been watching and reading in the last week.
Yeah, or they can listen to some fantastic music, as long as they're not listening on the podcast, of course.
And you can also listen to us talk about trailers.
Okay, and if we've time, we might do some other stuff as well, if you're lucky.
Yeah, and if you're lucky, you might also get a chance to, I don't know, maybe get in contact with us.
You can get in contact with us at Bigs Papa on Twitter, The Papa Big Show on Facebook, SoundCloud, YouTube and Pinterest, at Ersatz Radio on Twitter, Ersatz Radio on Facebook, SoundCloud and YouTube, ersatzradio.co.uk and cafepress.co.uk/ersatzradio.
I would say that is perfect summer music.
It is.
The Beachy Boys. And that one even more so because it sounds like it's an ice cream man at the start.
Yeah.
But that was, of course, Wouldn't It Be Nice by the Beach Boys. What have we got coming up?
Well, wouldn't it be nice if we were to talk about what we've been watching and reading?
It would.
What have you been reading? What have you been watching? What have you been watching? What have you been reading? What have you been reading? What have you been watching? What you've been watching, what you've been reading, what you've been watching.
Oh yes, of course, it's what you've been watching and what you've been reading. The part of the show where we look at what you've been watching and what you've been reading in the past 7 days. What have you been reading? Nothing.
Nothing. Well, I have been reading. Well, actually, no, I haven't. There's a couple of days I haven't read. I've been doing other things.
Oh my. What do you mean?
Poor, really. Especially by my standards, because I do like to read every single day. But because I'm still reading what I was reading last week, and I planned to finish it, which was Philip Dick Dick's My Friends and Frolics 8. But I'm still reading it. I've still got about 50 pages left. What?
What did you say? Who's it by?
Philip K. Dick.
Ah. Okay.
Why? What do you think
I said?
You said
David Dick.
No.
And I was like, that's not right.
No. But I have been watching things.
Yeah, but why would you be inside watching things rather than outside reading a book?
It hasn't always been lovely. It's only been the back end of the week. Because the start of the week, it wasn't so nice.
Got no excuse.
And
you've been to work one day
fact,
this week.
One of the things I was watching has really bad weather in it. It's called Snowpiercer, a 2013 film starring Chris Evans by Korean director Jun Ho Bong, or as he's known in this particular credit for this particular Western film, is Bong Joon-ho.
That's weird.
Yeah, it is a bit.
His directorial credit is Bong Joon-ho, but his writing credit is Jun Ho Bong.
Mm. Maybe he likes to mix it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Mm. Also, Jamie Bell and Tilda Swinton are also in this, and a few other familiar faces which you may recognise. This is a very strange film. It wasn't what I thought it was going to be. I saw the trailer, and it was quite action-packed, and you've got the basic premise. So it's a sci-fi dystopian future type thing where the whole world's been destroyed and it's gone frozen through one failed thing which has completely turned the entire planet into a frozen wasteland. And It's kind of an allegorical tale because you've got this long train where you've got the basic remnants of societies living in it. So people from all over the world in this long train. And at the back of the train is all the scum, all the underlings, all the poor, starving people, of which Chris Evans and Jamie Bell are a part of. And right at the front, you've got the guy who invented the train, who's super wealthy. So you can see where it's going with this, and everything in between.
Is it one of those confusing films?
It is a little bit, because it not confusing in its story. No, and it's not that twisty, because it's about a revolution, basically. So the people at the back of the train are going to try and get to the front of the train through various strange goings-on and these various strange different departments. So all kind of things like a sushi bar, a children's school, all kinds of strange things. But it's strange in the fact that, and confusing in the fact that it changes tone. One minute it's an action film with kung fu everywhere. One minute it's incredibly violent. One minute it's this weird, surreal comedy. One minute it's like, I don't know, it's like a mystery thriller. It's just all over the place.
That sounds weird,
so
yeah.
So every single cabin they go through, you've got this Chris Evans character who stays the same and is in the same kind of genre that he started in, but then he starts to move through all these different genres of film. It's really weird. It's a strange watch. Interesting, really interesting. Tilda Swinton, though, who I like immensely and is always really good, seems to be in a different film. She seems to be in the wrong film. She seems to have turned up in a Wes Anderson film. With
she
this
just
crazy
turn
caricature.
Up in a Wes Anderson
yeah,
film.
I know. So she's been doing one of her Wes Anderson films and then forgot to get into a different character because she's got like the fake teeth and daft hair and she's putting on this really strong northern English accent. Love you, alright.
Is she wearing bright colours and is symmetrical?
Yeah.
That's weird.
It is. It's very strange. So that also is rather jarring. But although it's unsuccessful in it could be one of our floor masterpieces.
Oh, I haven't done one of them in ages.
Yeah, well, it's all over the place, but it's an interesting watch because you never know what's going to happen next, that's for sure.
But if you're listening to this on a podcast version, you may have listened to a flawed masterpiece just a few days ago because I started
uploading classics.
Yeah, Peppa Pig's classic.
Oh, that was the first thing I watched. What have you been reading, as I should have been doing?
I have been reading, you may remember a few weeks ago, I talked about how I read the Lobo miniseries.
All right, yeah.
Of the big intergalactic bounty hunter, DC Comics.
The one who goes back to his school and kills his teachers.
Yeah, and I didn't like it.
No.
But this one, it's called Lobo's Back. It's the same creators, Keith Giffen, Alan Grant and Simon Bisley. And it's better, it's significantly better. I enjoyed it a little bit more.
Can I just say, is the rest of the humour as good as the front cover? Because it's called Lobo's Back, and it's got a picture of his back.
I think I laughed twice. It doesn't pass the Mark Kermode 6 laugh test.
All right.
But I still found it better. So Lobo is an intergalactic bounty hunter. He goes to kill this guy, but the guy ends up killing him, and he goes to heaven. And he pisses off the people in heaven. Then he goes to hell, but he enjoys hell too much. So he goes back to heaven, and they reincarnate him.
What?
It's weird, but I enjoyed it, nonetheless. Okay. Just because it was a step up from the first series,
right,
which was just boring.
Okay.
I do like the artwork by Mr. Simon Bisley.
Yeah, it's very good. And Alan Grant's a good writer as well.
Mm-hmm.
Good English comic book creators.
Yep.
We like British, should I say. The thing is, right, so he's this intergalactic bounty hunter. Mm-hmm. So how come everything's like on some kind of Earth-related religious plane? I don't understand. Or is heaven and hell, like, are they different planets or something now?
I have no idea. I didn't think of that.
Okay.
In between reading the first series and the second series, there are only 4 issues. I read a one-shot because I looked up the reading order.
Mm.
And the one in between was called Lobo's Paramilitary Christmas Special.
Right.
And Santa, it's Santa's like a dark guy. He's like a villain, villainous boy, and he enslaves the elves, and he doesn't pay them. So Lobo goes and kills him.
Oh, yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. But not because of...
It's a strongly suggested for mature readers. Why is that? Is it violent?
Yeah, kind Anything of. Else? Not really. It's just mature for the Sweary? 90s. It's from the 90s. No, there's no swearing. There's no nudity or swearing. And there's very mild violence.
Right, okay.
It's just because it's in the 90s and everyone was a wuss back then.
Okay, yeah.
This would be a 12 if it was a film.
Okay.
It's not a film.
It's not a film, it's a comic.
But what have you been... watching.
Okay. Right, well, this was a TV series rather than a film, which is on Channel 4. It's currently 2 episodes of 6 in, and it is based on one of my favourite books, which is A Catcher 22. Don't know why I did it with that particular accent. Oh, it's based in Italy, so, and there's a couple of people who say it like that. I think that's probably why. Anyway, there's a big cast in it. It's produced by and also he's in it as well, Mr. George Clooney.
The Clune.
Yeah. So
what's it about?
Well, it is about the lunacy of war.
Oh, you and your war.
Yeah, me and my war. Only the Second World War. Don't like the other wars.
Yeah, why is that? You said that to me before we started recording this. You like the Second World War.
I don't like it. That's I like films and TV shows based on it.
Yeah, but surely not
I like to watch.
Surely there's interesting stuff about the other wars.
Possibly.
There's interesting stuff about the Vietnam War.
Yeah, yeah. I don't mind those, but I always prefer a World War II film or TV show. I wish this is it. But it could be any war because it is a tale about how ridiculously stupid, which is where that catchphrase comes from, Catch 22.
Is it a comedy?
There is humour in it, very dark humour in it. The interesting thing about this particular adaptation, because there was a film adaptation in this 1970 by Mike Nichols, which I quite like, and that cranks up the absurdity, so it's quite a surreal film and a bit silly, whereas this one is more grounded in reality.
And Catch 22 is like a... thing people say, isn't it? It's a popular phrase. Like you, is it like you?
It has become that way since the book and the film. Okay, so it's where this ridiculous situation, which you just can't get out.
Can I explain it? Can I try and explain it?
Do you want to try it? Go for it.
So it's something to do with pilots.
Pirates.
Pilots in the war, and they could only quit if they were crazy, like a lunatic, or just mentally ill, but. If you were mentally ill, you wouldn't know you were mentally ill. But if you said you were mentally ill, it means that you aren't, because you know that you aren't.
But pretty much that, but it's about the request as well to actually leave. So, can you ground me? Because I'm mental. Well, clearly you're not mental, because you wouldn't ask to be grounded. Okay, so if you are crazy, you won't ask to be grounded. So that's the catch. You never will get out.
You could get someone else to do it for you.
No, you have to request it yourself. That's the catch.
So it's you lose either way.
Yeah, exactly right. And that's the catch of 22. So that's why people use it. Yes, it is. And there's lots of other strange goings on of like bureaucracy and people doing things and officers just doing things just for the sake of doing things. And it's, you know... And Yusarian, the lead character, which was written by Joseph Heller back in... and based on, not entirely, but based on some of his own experiences during the war. Because he was indeed a bomber pilot during the Second World War. And he wrote it when he became an ad man in New York in the 60s. Wow. So there you go.
That's wild.
So far, so good. Because it stays loyal to the book, but what it does and what the original book is very well known for is the way the narrative just jumps around all over the place. So it's extremely non-linear. And it doesn't explain that this has happened way, way before. And it also overlaps dialogue as well, or overlaps chapters. So a previous chapter will start before the other ones ended, and things like
weird.
That. It takes a while to get used to how to read it.
Do you recommend this?
Oh,
to everyone?
Definitely would.
I know, I think Grandad Biggs is watching this as well, isn't he?
Yeah, he should be, because he likes the book as well. But what he does is it takes that non-linear element out and it tries to put it together in more of a linear narrative, which actually makes more sense because the film jumps about all over the place as well.
It's
and tries to recreate the book.
It's a Nolan thing to do, isn't it?
It is, but it won't work because of the way this character art works, and it works better actually this way with this character. It works on the page because you can get away with it in that way, but to understand his journey from like raw recruit to going slowly insane because of all these ridiculous things, and then you need that really, I think. Anyway, so I'll look forward to the rest of the episode. So that's what I've been watching. What have you been watching?
So I watched a film, I forgot what it's called, Midnight Special.
You forgot what it was called.
Not Midnight Express, as Mama Biggs called it.
Oh, no. That is a very different film.
Yes, and I didn't enjoy it. Sorry. I know you did.
Why didn't you enjoy it?
I felt like the story didn't progress in a natural way. I felt like the problems that arose in the plot were solved too quickly. Like, the spoiler alert, the boy gets taken away, and like 5 minutes later they get him back. The boy's ill, and they think he's going to die. And halfway through, he's like, nah, he's all right now. It's kind of like the end of Limitless, where you're gonna die, you know? No, I'm not. I'm better now.
I think you're right. I think you're right in the fact that there are some serious, easy plot devices that he uses. But I think the way it's acted and the basic premise is all right. And it's nice and simple.
Yeah, the premise is about a boy. He's got powers, they're pretty nondescript. They maybe come from the sun, maybe, and he can
possibly,
like,
yeah. I like the fact that it doesn't explain anything, and it doesn't try to explain anything. It leaves it up to you, and it gives you the points of view of different types of characters in it, and how they're trying to explain who this boy is and what his power is. Mm-hmm. So you have this religious cult who think he's some kind of divine gift from God, and he's their portal to heaven. And then you have the government who think he's a weapon and think he's there going to take them down and think he's dangerous. Mm-hmm. And then you have his mum and dad who just think, well, he's special and we'll just want him to be happy and do what he wants to do.
That's something I did like. I did think it was well acted, especially by, what's his name?
Shannon.
Michael Shannon and Kirsten Dunst and Adam Driver.
Yeah,
they were very good and they made it a bit more believable. Even though it was a really weird story with boy with light hands, boy with light eyes.
But they've also got the way it's filmed as well, which is quite a low budget, down to earth road movie, which also I like the fact that they try and do it that way as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not perfect, you're absolutely right, but I think there's enough there to just forgive its flaws. But they bothered you, did you?
Yeah, I didn't hate it. I was just disappointed by there wasn't enough sci-fi for me. And when there was sci-fi, it was in the last, like, 10 minutes or so. Mm. I won't spoil what happens, but there's stuff...
In that respect, there's another film which I think is very similar, which is you're expecting it to be full-on sci-fi, but there's only just a tiny little bit of it, and that kind of comes in glimpses, and then at the end, because it kind of grounds itself in reality with this kind of otherworldly thing going on as well. It's Monsters, which is the Gareth Edwards film.
Don't know.
That's well worth a watch as well.
That wasn't what I was going to talk about.
Okay.
I should have brought it up. Well, I should have. That was a good, interesting conversation.
Okay.
But what I was going to talk about was, it's something completely different to what I usually talk about, being that it's a YouTube series, which means you can get it for free on YouTube. And it's a documentary series about Jim Henson.
So, cool.
Yeah, the guy who does The Muppets, Sesame Street. And it's by a YouTuber called Defunct Land. He usually talks about... like old theme park rides that have like gone old and the history of them. But he sometimes ventures into television, which is the reason I'm subscribed to him. And this Jim Henson series is really interesting. So it's like a timeline. Each video, I think it's 6 parts.
Mm.
There's 5 out right now. Like from the very beginning with the very first show, Sam and Friends.
Yeah.
There's one about Sesame Street.
Yeah.
And the Sesame Street... it was kind of strange because he didn't want to make it because he didn't want to do stuff for kids. He thought if he made Sesame Street, people think, oh, puppets are just for children.
Mm-hmm.
And they did, which is why he found it so hard to start up the Muppet Show. So the very first Muppet special was called The Muppet Sex and Violence, because he wanted to make sure that people knew it wasn't for kids. Because And there's interesting stuff about Muppet Babies, which is the animated show, and Fraggle Rock. And also his films that he made, Labyrinth and Dark Crystal, which were huge, like nobody liked him.
No, they were massive flops.
And the only reason
But they become cult successes afterwards.
Yeah, the only reason he managed to make the second one, Labyrinth, was because the first one was a huge, like, money success, but that one, Labyrinth, wasn't, so... Mm-hmm. It's weird because I'm finding out stuff that I didn't think I cared about that much. Like, everyone likes the Muppets and everyone likes Jim Henson. And it's interesting for me to find out stuff.
Yeah, so, well, I'd probably watch that myself.
It's very interesting. It's free. And I'm surprised. It's very well edited. It's very well researched. And the way that it works, like, you can watch an episode on its own if you just want to find out the history of one show. But they all go together to make, like, it's kind of like an anthology, but they paint a bigger picture.
Yeah, okay.
It's very interesting. I'll recommend it if you're interested in
I'm glad to hear you're watching documentaries and on interesting subjects as well. Mm. Well done, you. Okay, well, that is what we've been reading and what we've been watching this week. Let's have a little bit of Beastie Boys.
What did we just say?
That was Sure Shot by the Beastie Boys, and now it is time for some trailers.
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 Yes, of course, it's Trailers, the part of the show where we look at 5 trailers for film, for TV, for anything we want from the past 7 days, and we tell you whether we think they're good, bad, or somewhere in the middle. So basically, we're watching them so you don't have to. But if you're interested in watching them, you can head over to the YouTube channel where they're in a playlist.
Yeah.
Just for you.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Well, not just for me, for everybody else who's listening.
I was talking to the listeners.
Oh, right, okay.
I wasn't talking to you.
Oh, that's all right then. What's our first trailer then, please, someone?
The Current War. This is a it's a film.
And okay, that's great.
Yeah,
what's the next
it's
trailer?
A film. Right, so it's about... It's a war of current, as in electricity.
AC/DC.
AC/DC. It's... no, it's not. It's... what's his name? What's the main guy's name?
Benedict Cumberbatch.
Benedict Cumberbatch.
Who's playing Thomas Edison.
Thomas Edison.
Yes.
Michael Shannon playing... What's his name?
Mr. Tesla. Nikola Tesla.
No, that's Nicholas Hoult is playing Nikola Tesla.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, and he's playing the other guy, the guy who's less known. What's his name?
I don't know.
What the hell's his name?
Michael Shannon is...
Westinghouse.
Yes, of course.
I knew it began with a W.
Yes. And there's also got Tom Holland in it. Little Spider-Man himself is also in there.
As some young man.
As a grown-up.
Yeah.
It's got sideburns and everything.
That's crazy.
Anyway, so this is based on allegedly a true story. Well,
allegedly.
Well, it's real people, based on real people, yes. And obviously they were... inventors at the time, trying to invent light bulbs and electricity and all kinds of crazy stuff, which would improve the world around us for various reasons. And they had different methods and different ways of doing it. I do not doubt that that happened, but how the story entails, I'm just not so sure.
I know what you mean. These Hollywood films tend to bend the truth a little.
Yeah, and this is going to be very much the American take on it, which will be all about Thomas Edison.
Yeah.
And the European take would be more about Nikola Tesla. And the historical, if you ask historians about who did what, where, when and how, yes, it's still a little muggy, but they will claim... That actually is Mr. Tesla.
I have never actually heard of this Westinghouse guy. What did he do?
I don't know, to be honest with you.
Wow.
I've never really heard of it. I just thought it was a war between the two.
Maybe we'll be told about this film, or maybe he's been made up for the film completely.
I don't think so.
Yeah, that's probably not true.
No.
But this looks interesting. If you want to watch a film about light bulbs, I guess this is for you. If you're a big... light bulb fan?
Yeah, well, you know, obviously there's some kind of metaphor there about light bulbs going on and great ideas. Yeah, maybe.
And it looks like it's going to be tense. because there's three people trying to make some light, trying to make some electricity, and who's going to win?
It will be illuminating. Yeah, okay.
It looks like there's some good bits in there. The bit with Benedict Cumberbatch in the field full of light bulbs looks quite interesting.
Which is fine, but I've seen that before in Prestige.
I haven't seen the Prestige in ages. Does that happen?
Yeah, well, yeah, it certainly does.
Oh, yeah, Nikola Tesla's in that, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah, played by David Bowie.
Yeah.
That's right. Okay, so anyway, this is out when?
This is out 26th of July.
Does he have a director we might recognise at all? Do you know? Alfonso Gómez-Rejón, has he done anything else?
I assume he's done.
Well, he probably
things,
has, yeah. But do we know anything what he has done?
Me, Earl and the Dying Girl.
All right. Hmm. State of Play, yeah.
Looks like it's mostly TV stuff. Nothing that we've seen.
No. So maybe this is his big breakthrough or something like that.
This looks like it's one of those films that was made ages ago.
Yeah.
And it's never been in a cinema. Because it says here, IMDb.
2017,
yeah.
That is very strange. Okay.
It was 2 whole years ago.
Doesn't bode well then, does it, that it couldn't find an audience or a distributor? So, especially with that kind of huge name cast on it.
Yeah. I'm going to give it a thumb in the middle.
I'm going to give it a thumb in the middle also. What is trailer 2, please?
Trailer number 2 is Charlie's Angels.
Oh, great. A remake of Charlie's Angels or a reboot. That's exactly what we need. Thank goodness for that. I've been waiting for this.
Now, I'm not familiar with the original. When was that made?
The original was a 1970s television series with Farrah Fawcett and Kate Jackson.
So, is it similar to the original?
In the fact that you have three sorts of undercover agents working for some person called Charlie, who is some kind of a millionaire playboy who just gets these three girls to do his jobs for him through an intermediary called Bosley. That's it. And they get to all kinds of adventures. So that was the basic premise of the series. And obviously that was quite groundbreaking that you were having young, beautiful women being badass. All right, so because that's the 70s. Anyway, I had a reboot in the late 90s. With which also starred and produced by Drew Barrymore, with Lucy Liu and Cameron Diaz. Well, remembered me, okay. And there were two of those films. They had a sequel as well, and they did very well. And they took the same idea, the TV series, and then kind of upgraded it to be kind of 90s Ladette type stuff.
Yes, yeah, so
and high energy and kind of Fast and Furious style.
Yeah, this
filmmaking
is your average Hollywood remake, isn't it? It's got Naomi Scott, Kristen Stewart, and Ella Balinski in the main three roles, with Elizabeth Banks
as Bosley. Yeah.
And it's women getting up to some spy shenanigans.
So it's not doing anything different than the 90s reboot at all, apart from it's just different characters and
different actors.
Different actors. Different actresses. It's literally just giving it a polish and bringing it up to date with newer people so it relates to a new audience. And that is it. They've done absolutely nothing. So it's perfectly workable. It's a perfectly workable action comedy film.
Yeah, it just doesn't. It's just nothing new.
No, at all. At all. But it looks perfectly acceptable, perfectly well made. The trailer, though. Oh, my word.
Awful.
We know how we like a trailer that teases us and just shows us a glimpse and gets us to say, oh, I wouldn't mind watching that. Well, this shows you the whole flaming film.
Well, the annoying part is it starts off with a bit of a scene and then it's mostly just scenes, isn't it?
It seems to show you every single scene and every single type of scene that it is. And you've got a cameo with
Patrick Stewart
in it. It shows you far, far too much, and loads of the action scenes. It looks like, what else am I going to get?
It's doing a bit of a Suicide Squad as well. It's got like 3 or 4 different songs in the trailer.
Oh, God, yeah.
One with each scene.
Well, that's because young people like music, don't they?
The main reveal of the trailer, it's got the names of the actresses come up first, and then it's also a new song starring, and then the names come up One by One, Ariana Grande, Miley Cyrus, and Lana Del Rey.
Featuring new singles by.
Yeah,
so there you go.
Just
that
shows.
Yeah,
who the audience
it's.
There,
well,
really.
It just shows you that it's been made by committee, by executives, rather than actually people who want to make a film. Anyway, that's Charlie's Angels. I mean, I'll be nice because I'm sure it's perfectly okay. It's just it's the marketing that is really irritating me. It's the trailer and the way it's been marketed that is really pissing me off. But we'll go with Thumb in the Middle.
Yeah, I'll do the same thing.
Well, let's have one more trailer before we have some music, please.
Well, our third trailer is it's a bit bloody strange, isn't it?
So this is.
It's an indie film.
Yeah. Is it Australia or New Zealand?
I think it's New Zealand.
It's a New Zealand indie film.
It's got, I'm assuming it's quite a low budget.
Well, it doesn't look that low budget. I mean, compared to big Hollywood movies, yes. But it's doing some pretty crazy things. It's not just like a road movie with drama. It's not a drama at all. It's some crazy sci-fi action comedy. And
it's weird. So it starts off with these three guys. And they're like working in Australia or New Zealand. I think it is Australia. IMDb says it was filmed in Australia.
Okay.
And they're like, oh, we're going to bloody work. We're going to work, mate. And then this guy gets out his phone and his friend like gets zapped with electricity and then he starts seeing zombies and ghosts.
That's right. And this is called Nectronic.
Necrotronic.
Necrotronic.
It's a necro for dead.
Yes, I know.
Tronic
thank you,
for
yeah, thank you.
Electricity. Technology.
And so as soon as he pushes his phone and then starts seeing things, it kicks off and we get all kinds of crazy things going on.
There's this evil woman who uploads souls and demons to the internet.
Obviously.
So souls can now, and demons and these spirits can now attack people through phones.
That's right. And you've got all kinds of crazy monsters, laser guns. You've got different people with different agendas going on and clashing, etc., etc. And then we eventually get some kind of team together who are going to battle forces of evil. This is crazy 80s exploitative stuff. Mm-hmm. If I was 17 and this was 1988, I'd go, oh, yeah, baby. And it would probably star, I don't know, Steven Seagal. Or, no, it would be more Van Damme, I think, would be in this. And it would be like, yeah, the new Van Damme's out.
And then you'd look back at this.
Absolutely bonkers and go.
What would happen if you were watching this in the 80s and a few weeks ago you'd be like, oh, look, we've got to watch this epic film from my childhood, Nectronic. And then you'd put it on and we'd be like, this is a bit cheesy.
Okay, so it's not the 80s and it's not Jean-Claude Van Damme. It's made in 2019, and it stars whom?
It stars Dave Beamish.
Oh, yeah, Dave. Oh, Monica Bellucci. All right, well, she's quite famous. She was in James Bond films and what have you.
Yeah.
Anybody else? No.
Well, this list seems to not be ordered by.
Yeah.
Yeah, IMDb is rubbish.
Yeah. When's it out?
It's out in the UK on the 23rd of August.
Right, okay, so right at the end of the summer. Mm-hmm. Okay, I think this might be a little surprise hit, you know.
Yeah.
I think there's going to be. Because there is a real thirst for that kind of
weird
retro 80s cheesy kind of stuff.
Yeah, I definitely like the aesthetic of this.
Yeah.
That's
I like it too.
To me.
I like it as well.
I think I'd enjoy this. I like the weirdness of it. It's the sort of thing you just watch for an hour and a half of fun.
You just go along with
enjoyment it. From
no.
it.
No.
Not like it's gonna make. It's not gonna make you think.
No.
It's just necromancers with guns shooting internet demons.
That's right. This would be directed by John Carpenter in 1988. Okay. So, thumb up from me.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, well, let's have a bit of freaky music. That was Jesus Jones with Info Freako. We are halfway through trailers here on the Papa Big Show here on airsuchradio.co.uk. What have we had so far?
We've had The Current War, Charlie's Angels, and Nectronic.
Yeah, and we've got some more trailers coming up for your delectation. How do they join in with this if they want to?
You can head on over to the Papa Big Show on YouTube where they're compiled in a playlist for your consumption.
All right, or you can just listen to us prattle on and explain them.
Yeah.
So what do we got for trailer number four then, please?
Trailer number four is for, it's a TV show.
Okay.
rather than a film.
Do you know what? I didn't actually realise that while watching it.
I know. That's why I said it.
Yeah.
It is Scream Resurrection.
Okay, so obviously this is a horror movie franchise. It's been going on for donkey's years. Mm-hmm. And they've made, I don't know how many films, they've made six films or something like that.
I don't know.
Probably about that. This is the, that's what happened. So it started in the late 90s, early 2000s with Scream, which was Wes Craven, who is a master horror movie maker anyway, who did Nightmare on Elm Street, amongst many other things. And he was kind of doing a pastiche comedy horror, taking the mickey out of himself and all those kind of things. And it had Drew Barrymore in it and everything like that. So it was a real reflective look and kind of, you know, look on back at itself.
Mm-hmm. And this is a short trailer. It's only a minute long.
Mm.
And it shows people getting murdered by the Scream guy.
That's right, by the guy in the Edvard Munch mask.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So there's like a field, there's like a goth in a corridor, there's a school. It's got Mary J. Blige in it.
Yeah, which
she's
is...
She's a pretty big name.
Tiger, which we last saw in Umbrella Academy, didn't we?
Mm. Tiger, who is a rapper.
Mm.
CJ Wallace, don't know who that is.
Okay.
Kiki Palmer.
Who's she?
Don't know who that is.
Okay.
And Paris Jackson. Who's I also that? Don't know who that is.
Okay, well done. So, we don't know who any of these people are. Probably, it's. I would have thought it's... Oh, that's an interesting one for me. Executive produced by Queen Latifah. Do you know who she is?
The name rings a bell.
She's a rapper.
Yeah.
From the 70s.
I think this is a very rapper-based thing, if you've got Queen Latifah and Tiger doing this.
Okay.
One old rapper, one new rapper.
Okay.
Maybe Scream himself will do a rap.
Yeah, maybe.
MC Scream.
All right. It's not really doing anything different, is it? At all.
No.
So it's high school kids getting killed off by a bloke in a mask.
Mm-hmm.
Well done.
All right.
Unless it's going to do something else, but the trailer doesn't give us anything else other than that.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing else.
Yeah.
So
there's a really,
really
rubbish bit.
Yeah.
Where there's a girl running, and it's about 1 second long. And then they reverse the clip for some reason. So she runs forward about a metre and then runs backwards a metre.
I wonder what that's about.
That's
and it's also got some sort of concert involved. So they're going to obviously include the music in. And it's obviously aimed at a very young audience. Probably tween age, really.
Nah, I don't think so.
No? Okay.
I think it's aimed at like my age.
All right.
Tween age.
Yeah.
It's about a murderer with a knife.
Well, true. But I think it's probably aimed at like 15-year-olds. But... I think 12-year-olds would probably get more enjoyment out of it.
Yeah. It's a three-night event, so is it only going to be three episodes?
Let's hope so. Let's hope there's no more than that.
Well, I can say for sure I'm not going to watch this. I'm not interested in this.
No, I am not either. It's a thumb down from Pampa Beach.
It's a thumb down from me.
Okay,
you know what
then.
I just realised?
What?
We've given the same rating to every trailer so
okay
far.
Well, let's change that with the last trailer then, please. Someone,
the final trailer is that's why I brought it up now.
Yeah, now I saw where you're going with it.
Is for Midway, which is right. Your favorite thing.
World War II. That's right. It's not my favorite thing, no, but
it
I do enjoy a good World War II film or TV show, as previously discussed earlier on in this episode.
You just have an appetite for war.
That's right.
Because you just grew up with those action men.
That's
those,
right. And guns.
Brainwashed.
Child
too.
Of the 70s.
Yeah.
That's right. Action men and guns. All right. Anyway, clearly, I'm also incredibly sensible and understand the realities of war, and I would never ever want to be in a war or want there to be a war. So I just enjoy the spectacle, I think. Anyway, this is a definitely going to be a spectacle because it is directed by disaster movie specialist Roland Emmerich, who brought us what? Can you remember?
Independence Day.
Correct.
Independence Day Resurgence.
Yeah. Any other ones?
The
2012.
Big.
What's that? Yeah, the
films.
Tomorrow one. Yeah, that one as well. Yeah. So lots of big, daft blockbusters with lots of effects, lots of people in it, huge casts. So it kind of makes sense that he would make a war movie because you have a huge ensemble cast, you have huge spectacle, and you have large-scale things happening, which is great big battles. So it starts off, the trailer kicks off with
Pearl Harbor.
Yeah, and obviously America joining the war in the Pacific. And Midway, if you are not familiar, was a huge turning point of the battle in the Pacific against the Americans, against the Japanese. And it was pivotal. It was a naval battle, an air battle, which was absolutely crucial for a certain part.
So in this film, we've got Ed Skrein, Patrick Wilson, Luke Evans, Aaron Eckhart, Nick Jonas. He's one of the Jonas brothers.
All right. Well, there you go.
Mandy Moore, Dennis Quaid.
Dennis Quaid.
And Sun Tzu's favourite, Woody Harrelson.
Woody Harrelson or Owen Wilson. Mm. No, he's not. Owen Wilson's not in it. You're talking about like the Jonas brother being it, so like having a pop star from a boy band.
It's kind of like Harry Styles.
There you go. That's where I was going. So that worked. So this could do too.
This isn't going to be the next Dunkirk, though, is it?
No, it will be a very, very different film to that. I mean, I think there's an indicator really by a bit of typography within the trailer, which is your typical Roland Emmerich American flag waving thing going on. Can you remember what that was?
No.
Watch. It's coming up. Let's just wait for it now on our screen.
That's not good radio.
I know you can't see it. I know you can't see it.
It's not good radio.
Well, I would, but I can't remember what it says. So that's why I'm stalling. I'm stalling. And then it says, when our freedom was under attack. That's right. How I don't understand what this notion of the word freedom Americans have. They're always terrified of losing it.
Yeah.
They seem to think that they actually have it, and they really don't.
I'm going
to
give us
sorry
a thumb
to
in
say
the
that, but you don't. Anyway, I am going to stick my thumb up for this.
Wow, you've broken the streak. Could you not be more negative? Could you not have looked at the dark side of things? That like Roland Emmerich's not the best director.
No, he's not. But I'm hoping that the spectacle will outweigh the cheesiness.
Okay, but that leaves only one question.
What's our trailer of the week, someone?
For me, well, we'll review first.
Go on then, review.
The Current War, which was two thumbs in the middle.
Yeah.
Charlie's Angels, which was two thumbs in the middle. Necrotronic, which was two thumbs up. Scream Resurrection, which was two thumbs down. And Midway, which was a thumb up from you and a thumb in the middle from me.
So what are we going to do? What's going to be your trailer of the week?
It has to be Necrotronic.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the wildest.
Well, you know how predictable I am. And you know how much I love the war. So my trailer of the week is also Necromantic. That's not the right film. Necrotronic.
Necromantic
is a very different film from the 80s. Anyway.
How Do They Come?
That was Jimmy Cliff with The How Do They Come. I'm afraid, I don't know we've got much time for anything else.
Well, so we'll just do this. You can get in contact with us at Biggs Papa on Twitter, The Papa Big Show on Facebook, SoundCloud, YouTube and Pinterest, at Ersatz Radio on Twitter, Ersatz Radio on Facebook, SoundCloud and YouTube, ersatzradio.co.uk and cafepress.co.uk/ersatzradio. And don't forget, you can listen anytime on Spotify, on Google Podcasts, on any podcast service imaginable, as well as 7 a.m. and 5 p.m. at ersatzradio.co.uk.
That's righty doody 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 at 7 a.m. 5 p.m. whichever suits your lifestyle.
Yeah, breakfast and an early lunch. You can listen while you're eating. You can have a meal time with the Biggses.
That's right. Unless, of course, you're in a different continent where it will be slightly different.
Maybe you're in a different time zone. Because those times are Greenwich Mean Time.
But the thing is, with it being one in the morning and one in the late afternoon, hopefully there's going to be something for everybody there, no matter where you are in the world.
Mm.
So that is all we've got time for here on the Papa Big Show here on Source Radio. So join us again next time. Say goodbye, someone.
Goodbye.
And we're going to leave you with the Violent Femmes, because we are gone, daddy gone.